Welcome to Unknown Artist. I'm your host, Nikki E. Taylor, and this is our very first episode where we talk with the wonderful Claire Porter. Beautiful. I'm gonna take my headphones. No, I'm gonna keep them on and do one ear, one out thing. So we have Claire Porter in the Junkhouse Studios, and welcome. Yeah, that was a beautiful song. Now, what? For those of you who can't see it, that was about five slow winks.
I will say I was really happy this morning when it wasn't a video project, because I sort of rolled out of bed and then subsequently rolled to your apartment.
Yeah, I would never want it any other way. I would want you to feel as comfortable as possible and to not feel like you have to
keep your pants buttoned.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So tell me about that song. When did you write it?
Oh gosh. I guess I wrote it 2014-2015.
And what was happening at that time?
I was dating this fella.
Mm-hmm. As we do.
But I met him online. It was like one of my brief forays into online dating.
Now, which website did you use?
Okay, Stupid. Yeah. But anyway, I was told that's where the smart people went, and I still didn't know why. Smart people. So
okay.
I figured I would go and meet a smart person.
Yeah.
But he had on his profile young professional, you know, going off into entrepreneurship. And
okay.
That meant that he used to be a high school gym teacher, but is now a cocaine dealer.
Oh.
Yeah, just a whole...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a complete opposite...
Career change.
Yeah.
Oh, he really hated those children.
Though, actually, now that I think about it, if you are working with children, you know, like high school-aged kids...
Yeah.
That are, like, eager to get into the adult world, and a lot of them are beginning to experiment with drugs. That's the best time to become a cocaine dealer, when, like, you're...
Truly.
You're learning your clients.
Truly.
You know?
Well, for him, it was like, you know, he spent a couple of years working as a gym teacher, and he was like, why are we arming the children? Because I guess they would throw things at him. Mm.
Dodgeballs and whatnot?
Yeah, and sticks. He's like, there's what? Sticks and projectiles.
What? Where are they getting sticks?
Like hockey sticks. Or like even ringette.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When you think about it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, like, all of those things could be used to injure a gym teacher. Which, like, in retrospect, I feel like I've lost a lot of opportunities to, like, you know, enjoy my high school experience.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I didn't know you could hate your gym teacher. And have nothing happen to you.
Oh, God. But yeah, when we first started dating, he was like, oh, you know, like, I'm just on stress leave from work because the children keep attacking me. And I was like, okay, that sounds normal. And then he was like, oh, like, my friends have this, like legal grow-up. So, like, I'm there and I'm, like, helping pick the lead. And then, like, a couple weeks later, he's like, oh, you know, and then we sell a little bit extra on the side. But sometimes we have so much overstock, we have to get rid of it somehow. And I was like, okay, like less okay with that, if I'm being honest. But, like, still, like, okay, fine, that makes sense. And then turns out he had, like, a whole, like, just smorgasbord of drugs, with a whole closet of drugs. And he was so dumb about it. Like, that was the thing. It's like, okay. Like, I've broken rules in my life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say most people have.
Most people have, yeah. But, like, you don't have to be stupid about it. Because he was, like, like, living in a condo under his name, like, delivering, like, hardcore drugs in a car that was leased to him, like, legally leased to him, like, he was paying off. Do you know what I mean?
I would be the worst drug dealer, because I would absolutely do that.
Oh my God! And, like, I was like, listen, it's like, this is how you get caught. You know what I mean? Because it's like, what are you doing? Like, you're driving around, like, Westmount in all hours. Like, all hours.
You know what? This is making a lot of sense, because I... When I was younger, I dated someone who was pretty, like, in with kind of the shady underbelly of Carlton Place near Ottawa.
Mm.
And the drug dealers there used taxis.
See, that's smart.
Yeah.
That's, like, I mean, I'm if it was a legitimate business, that would be tax deductible.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's just, like, a cost of doing business. Like, you fold that into the cost. Like, you can externalize that and just make the client pay for that. Like, you don't... have to be driving your own car. Like get a car to go, for Pete's sake. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it's like, there's no... Oh, my goodness. Anyway, finally, my best friend said to me, she was like, do you want to be in his house when the cops eventually bust in and do a drug bust? And I was like, no. I sleep naked, you know?
Yeah, you don't want a bunch of cops seeing you naked.
No.
And, like, I don't trust cops.
No. I don't want to be in that situation. So I ended up breaking up. That's sort of the thesis of the songs. Like, I didn't realize... that he was doing as many drugs as he was. Because sometimes he would just, like, be in his house, like, you know, ripping back on the cocaine. And then he would, like, get really paranoid with me because, like, I spent a lot of time, my day job is hairdressing. So I spent a lot of time with gay men, but he was convinced that, like, gayness didn't exist. So he'd be like, you're cheating on me.
They're not really gay. I know. I know what they're really up to. Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's good song, though.
Yeah, it's
good
a great song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So was he good at least when he was sober?
Ish. Yeah. I mean, like, he actually was, like, he could be very thoughtful. He was extraordinarily cheap, which was hilarious, you know? Like, sometimes he would, like bring over takeout. He was like, and that cost $31. It's like, great, sweetheart. It's going to hold $30 on me. Oh, you're really... like, I feel like you're spoiling me now, you know? Yeah, that would have been, like, 2015, 2016. So I would have written a song in, like, 2016, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like that was a time of upheaval for a lot of people.
Yeah. All the celebrities were dying.
Yeah. Just lots of change. I think that's around the time that I moved here to Montreal. Yeah. So you have another song? Did you write any other songs around that time?
Did I write under? Oh, that's a good question. I will look at a song list and then try to. That's my primary problem. I'm not good at keeping
chronologizing.
Yeah.
But also, you don't have to. We can just do another song.
This is true.
Do you find that when you're songwriting, do you find that you'll have certain times where you're writing a lot and then times where you're not writing at all? Or do you think it's, like, somewhat consistent?
It's somewhat consistent. But to me, it's like for me, I was very lucky in sort of my early writing. Because, like, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a poet. Like, that's what I wanted to do. Like, I just wanted to be a poet. And then I got this weird bursary to go to summer camp for philosophy.
Oh, cool.
I wasn't a nerd. God bless you for saying that's cool.
As a poet.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I, you know how uncool I was? I went to a camp, it was a leadership seminar weekend retreat.
Yes.
That's what I got sent to.
Oh, I went to a couple of those too, if I'm being honest. Yeah.
Guy from Ryan's Wells? Did you
meet this guy? I don't think so.
Filling like wells in Africa. It's great.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. You know. Oh my god. But yeah, when I went to philosophy camp, I met this dude named Joel Rogers, who is, I think, just finishing his PhD now. But he, like, destroyed my poetry. Like, just destroyed it and made me cry a bunch.
Oh, no.
Like, over about 2 years. Like I would send him something, and then he would just rip it to shreds, and then I'd fix it, and then I'd send it back, and then he'd rip it to shreds, but, like, slightly less. And then he'd rip it to shreds. You know what I mean? Like, it was just this thing where I would literally just be, like, sobbing over, like, how much he destroyed, how much what I'd written. But I think it was the best thing that ever happened to me in terms of, like, writing and rigor. So, like, sometimes, like, I'll be writing something out, and I'll be like, okay, like, all of this needs work, but this part's good, you know? So, like, mm-hmm. I'll keep it and then transfer it to something else, if that makes any sense. Or, like,
yeah.
like I do that sort of Frankenstein stuff with my writing often, where I'm like, this is tight, this sucks, but something else tight will come along, and then I can, like, poop it together. So I do a lot of stuff like that, where, like, okay, so, like, Silence Was Pregnant was a song that I wrote at about the same time. But it was based on a poem that I had written in the early 2000s, where I was sort of thinking about, like, the colloquial phrase I called Silence Was Pregnant. And I was like, well, what if it was just a gross pregnant lady? And, like, every time... I was like, honestly, though, like, if you could,
I just,
like,
love how you're like, what if it was a gross pregnant lady? Like, not, like, a glowing,
no.
like, happy...
Yeah, but if she's glowing and happy, then you're not going to be silent. Like, when silence is pregnant, it implies uncomfortable silence. Like, there's no moment, like, when the silence is pregnant, we were just sitting there being comfortably happy. Like, that doesn't apply, right? So, like, it has to be uncomfortable. And
maybe.
Yeah, which is, like,
yeah.
a weird way of thinking about pregnancy. Right? Because, like, usually when someone's, like, knocked up, I mean, like for me, like, I'm going through this transition in my life where, like, earlier it was like, I'm pregnant, oh no, let's go to the clinic. Now it's like, let's go to the clinic every month to make sure the baby's doing okay, you know? it's a real switch.
Yep.
Like, just cognitively, right? But I like to say, like, the silence was pregnant, it's like, it means that something bad happened and nobody knows what to say anymore.
Not necessarily. Sometimes a pregnant pause is, like, in anticipation.
But still, the air is thick.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like,
there's tension,
like,
for
there's
sure.
There's always a tension. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not, like, glowing. Like, I've definitely had that kind of silence where you're just sort of, like, comfortable and happy, you know? And, like, you just don't feel like you have to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not pregnant silence.
No, it's definitely, like, an intake and you're waiting to breathe out, you know?
Yeah, like, something, like, the baby's gonna pop out of thin air. So I was like, what if...
Silent air, just baby...
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's what it is, right? Like,
yeah.
It gestates and it pops out. Like, what happens next? So, maybe I'll put that song.
Yeah.
ugly. When she stepped into the room, so I gave up my seat so she could get off her feet. The silence was pregnant. And you could talk about the birds and the bees. Sing about the wind through the trees. Don't change the fact that she's elephantine. The silence was pregnant. Off her feet, eyes wide with distrust. We sit, but no one speaks. So I open the door to take our eyes off the floor. The silence was pregnant. You can talk about the birds and the bees. Sing about the wind through the leaves. Don't change the fact that she's elephantine. The silence was pregnant.
Let me tell you why I love that song. I love that song because it manages to be very sinister and ominous and cryptic while also using the word elephantine. like that to me is such a hilarious, like there's so many hilarious images that you, and like the way that it's written is comedic in a lot of ways, but it still sounds so sinister. And like, so it's, I really like that.
Yeah. But like, it's like, it's funny to me because like you say like the silence was pregnant. It's like that's not necessarily a comfortable feeling, but then like, you know, like you have like naked pregnant celebrities on magazine covers, mm-hmm. just doing that, this glowing version of pregnancy. But like, frankly, that's not all pregnancy.
Right. Yeah, we don't often see like the negative sides of it.
Yeah,
because it's like taboo. Like we're not allowed to talk about the ways that pregnancy sucks.
Well, and like how sometimes, you know what? Like sometimes pregnancy is just really dark, and sometimes the person who's pregnant maybe isn't a good place in their life to be pregnant either. You know?
Or yeah, maybe know? There's bad circumstances around the pregnancy.
Yeah, or maybe just like the person is unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And then people, that's not something that people talk about. You know, like it's like I've known people who've had difficulties with their pregnancies, and it always comes as this shock. You know, like where people feel almost like entitled to having like a natural, perfect pregnancy, and mm-hmm. it's like that's not necessarily how shit goes down.
No, absolutely not. And it makes a lot more sense when you think of like the ways that pregnancy is portrayed in like older media, where they're always like, oh no, you're in such a delicate condition, and like we have to make like every little thing perfect, and that like hyper attention towards whoever is pregnant, because it is a fragile state and you are in need of like way more vitamins than you did before. Oh, and like things like that.
Like even in like the East of Eden, John Steinbeck relates a pregnancy to losing a tooth. But I mean like seriously though, like when you think about it like that way, I mean like they used to back in the day make pregnant women eat chalk.
Ew, why?
Because it had calcium in it. It was a natural calcium supplement. And then like in Ireland they would have pregnant women drinking Guinness. Because it had so many minerals in it. Because you need so many minerals to make a new person.
Oh my god.
It's weird.
Yeah, and like I have a friend who has two children, and she's had a lot of dental health problems because when you don't have enough vitamins, your teeth don't thrive.
Yeah.
And so she's had a lot of problems with that as well.
Which is horrific.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, the number of times that I've had, like, bring a lady in my chair and she's like, why is my hair falling out? And you're like...
And then you have a pregnant silence.
Yeah. Wow. Like, that kind of, like, you're like, go get some, like, multivitamins and go talk to your doctor because you're clearly showing deficiency, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, that's how our bodies work. Like, our bodies are principally concerned with, like, our lungs, our heart, our liver, our stomach. You know, like, as long as that stuff's working properly, they don't really, like, you only have, like, luscious, glorious hair if you're really healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you're not, then you're not going to have that. Like, same thing with, like, good, strong nails or nice skin. Like, if mm-hmm. you're not, like, your priority is keeping the whole machine going, not what you look like. So, I mean, like, if you can have, like, three teeth and still function, then, like, your body's going to kill one.
Gruesome. Well, you heard it here first. Pregnancy is disgusting. That's right. Not all women want to be pregnant.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, like, it's great. Like, if you want to make a new person, that's fine, but...
Anyway.
Yeah, not for everyone. do you have another song?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do another song.
What kind of song?
Any kind.
Let's do... this one's called Waste of My Time. Mm-hmm. Why don't you come a little closer? Bring your seat right next to me, 'cause I'm tired of feeling lonesome in this city filled with debauchery. Don't you know we're gonna spend
about moving to Montreal?
No.
No.
It was when I'd been here for like 5 years, I guess. when I was hanging out at a certain bar in St. Henry that had been gentrified. And I kind of had this realization that everybody was doing a lot of drugs. You know? Like, before I started smoking, everyone would go outside to smoke and you'd sort of be left alone. And now, like, if you go down on smoke breaks, then everyone will go back inside and have a bathroom trip together. And you're like, well, you're not checking each other's hair.
How did that shape your experience of being there? Everyone's on drugs.
I go there less frequently now. Okay, I think you know the place of which I speak.
I think I do.
I found that initially it wasn't so bad. And now, like, it's kind of getting a little bit ludicrous. And so, like, I found that the guys I was going there increasingly, I started hearing stories, frankly, from women telling me that they had had situations that were not safe. And so I was like, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. And then I started seeing just, like, bacchanalia, just, like, ridiculousness happen. Even though, like, there was a good reputation in terms of the music scene in that space, you know, where it was, like, super fun to go and, like, meet other musicians. And, like, it felt really, like, integral. And I felt like I was, like, you know, being able to appreciate other people, but also being appreciated myself. And, like, it sort of felt really cool that way. But then, like, that sort of weird slow switch over to it not being that anymore was sad. But I mean, like, that song to me is mostly about, like, feeling completely alone even though you're surrounded by people. Which I think is something that everybody can do.
That was part one of our two-part series with Claire Porter. Stick around for the other half on Unknown Artist.